Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast, a podcast designed to arm you with the tools and experiments that enable you to define happiness on your terms and inject more of it into each day. I'm your host, Penny Lacasso. I'm the world's first happiness hacker, and I have a bold mission. A mission to teach 10 million humans how to realize happiness on their terms by 2025. So, if you're ready to ignite your self-belief and inject more of what makes you feel good into each day, let's get started. Hello. Before I go through the formalities, I haven't been on Facebook with the collective community for a while and thought today I would live stream a podcast I'm doing with someone amazing and feel that it might be relevant for where many of you are at the moment. So that's why I'm popping in with a friend. Now, let's get down to the formalities. We are here for another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Now, this episode, along with a couple of others, is a little bit different because off the back of a recent literature review that I undertook for my studies in psychology, which was centered around the acceleration of mental health and well-being issues in women in Australia off the back of COVID restrictions, I decided to dig a little bit deeper beyond the research and talk to a number of mums across Australia who are working and who are sitting in lockdown. So we're calling this the Mums in Lockdown series, and this is episode 4. And today I want to welcome into the series the beautiful Leticia. How are you, Leticia?
Very good. Thank you so much for having me. And what a beautiful series.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Now, Leticia, you are a bit different, which I always love, a unique guest. Now, you call yourself, and correct me if I'm wrong, a soul and business doula. I love that.
Yes.
And as I experienced last night, you are a magician when it comes to creating a sacred space for women willing to create soul-aligned businesses, careers, and lives. Last night, I joined one of your new moon circles and was completely blown away with the psychological safety, I think, that you create for people and the vulnerability in which people were willing to share what was truly going on for them. So thank you first and foremost for that experience. I mean, your story is a fascinating one. Let's start with the question that I always start with on this podcast when I interview someone. And it's perhaps my favorite question. And the question is this: tell us who you are as a human being.
Wow. What a deep and profound question to start the podcast with. So as a human being, I would describe myself as a woman who is embracing her whole womanhood. And when I say that, is really kind of honoring all parts of myself and helping others doing the same, but really kind of honoring my power of creation that is within me as a woman. And it is really powerful to step into that because we tend to think of us just in one role or one hat that we wear. But actually, we are creatrix. We have a womb space where we create human, where we create project, where we create everything. And I love to think of myself as a human that is embracing her whole self.
So one word I want to touch on that I've heard come up a couple of times in conversation with you, just to take what you're saying a step further, is the word goddess. So talk to us about how you define goddess and how you apply that term to the work that you do.
Yes. So goddess is really the embodiment of the deities that we have around us and within us. And if we go back thousands of years before Christ, goddesses were represented everywhere. We were more in matriarchal clan societies. So it's really what I call her story rather than his story. Really, it was her story. We would honor goddesses. We would honor Mother Earth. We would honor really the divine feminine that is within us and around us. And then after some time in the way our society evolved, we went into a society which is more honoring God or the universe or the divine masculine in a way. And I love to bring back the power within us that we have, as we are all goddesses, and embracing that deity that we have within us and around us.
It's so interesting, because when I hear that word, there's like a heart, there's a warmth that comes into my heart. Because if I think of myself as a goddess, it just makes me smile. It makes me look at myself differently, is probably what I would say. So thank you for unpacking that for us. Now, you are based in Sydney, so you have been experiencing lockdowns now for, well, one extended big lockdown. Do you know roughly how many weeks it's been?
I haven't been counting exactly the weeks, but a friend of mine told me yesterday it's 105 days, more or less.
So let's just provide that as context, but let's go back, because one of the stats that came out of this literature review that I undertook was that 23% of women are considering opting out of paid work in order to accommodate the significance of the load that they're now carrying in home life amidst especially lockdowns, right? So caring has gone through the roof. A lot of women have found their work has gone through the roof. And I think that's interesting, because you're someone who actually left the professional world at the start of COVID.
Yes.
Talk to us about that journey. What happened and what was the catalyst?
Yes. Oh, I love this question. And for me, it was more a personal journey rather than a contextual journey. It's not because COVID happened that I exited my corporate job. It was more I was ready for that and I was building up to exit at that time. And of course, a question came to my mind about, is it the right time to exit the safety of a corporate job and go all in your business during one of the biggest pandemic we may have, you know, we may experience in our lifetime? And I was ready, so I just did it. But it was really kind of a personal journey. In hindsight, of course, I can say that it was not the most strategic move, because of course when you stay in corporate you can use some of your, you know, well-being day, sick days, and you know, you have some support. The corporate that I was working for would offer you 2 weeks to look after your family, even though, you know, 2 weeks is probably not enough, but 2 weeks to look after your family and things like that. Whereas when you are, you know, a business entrepreneur, a business owner, it's harder to kind of step away from the business and be dedicated to your kids and things like that, because you don't have the payroll that will come every month or every fortnight. So strategically was probably not the best move. But I can say that actually I'm grateful that I did it, because the community needed me to be full-time dedicated to supporting them. So actually my business has been thriving through COVID, because what I am offering, connection, authenticity, vulnerability, safe and sacred space for women, is needed now more than ever. And in every circle or every conversation I have with my community, it comes up, the fact that we are having so much to carry on our shoulder before we already had a lot as women and mum, and, you know, juggling work and all the different roles that we have. But now with COVID, we can see, and the statistics that you share is so insightful, is the fact that now women are looking after their kids, homeschooling, plus doing all the other roles that they had before.
So I'm going to go back even further than that, because your journey is a fascinating one. So you had this professional career, but before that, as a child growing up in France, when we first connected, you shared that you had a very spiritual and different upbringing that you kind of resented, but came back full circle in the context of where you landed with your business. So give us a little bit of insight into your childhood and how you kind of stepped from that to corporate and how it came full circle.
Yes. Oh, yes. So I grew up in the south of France. I come from a very rural, connecting to the earth background. Like with my family, they are farmers, and we would, you know, go on the land and go on hike and camp, and just always in nature, always doing that, and always in France and never traveling abroad. And I started meditation at the age of 5, because I was very hypersensitive and hyperactive, and I would resent my parents being like, why do I have to go on Saturday and sit on a cushion with, you know, your friend who was more or less a guru and just meditate and do tapping? I was like, why? Other people are just going and traveling abroad and taking a plane and so on. So I was really kind of seeing my life in a way that now we honor, but at the time it was really a past way of living, if that makes sense, you know? And my parents were like, but France is beautiful, and we would eat very consciously, and products that we would buy at the market. And I have just this love for the market. But at the time, I was like, why do we go to the market every weekend? Other people get their food in the supermarket. You know, it's just kind of the way we were living was different to the way my friends were living. I was not allowed to watch TV. So I would go to school and they would speak about TV shows and so on. I don't know this. I'm not allowed to watch this. So it was really kind of another way that my upbringing was really different to the upbringing of my friends at the time. And I've never been to the theater. I've never been to the museum and so on. So when I started going to a preparatory school to then integrate one of the best French business school and then go to corporate, I was just striving to develop the lifestyle that my friends were having. So going to the opera, going to the museum, going to see exhibitions, you know, all of that, going to the restaurant. And yeah, I was just kind of living another life and resenting my parents for that and just kind of not hiding, but more or less not always sharing my full story with my friends at the time. You know, it's like, it's not about, it's what you are willing to share. So I was not sharing my full story with them, went up the corporate later and so on until I burned out. And when I burned out, this is when I went back full circle and I reconnected with this childhood that was so beautiful, so nourished, so grounded, so rooted, and honoring that back and then bringing it all together in my business today, blending the strategy and the corporate and all of that that I've learned through this journey incorporate, but at the same time, bringing in my family, my upbringing, my lineage, my mission, my healing gifts.
Gosh, I love that. You've studied yoga in India. You lived in India for quite a while. You've also studied Ayurveda.
Ayurveda.
So it's kind of like you've got, and then you've had this upbringing and you went into corporate and now you've taken all of that and brought it back into what you do now to actually serve the community that you have.
Yes.
So it's like complete full circle, right?
Exactly.
So you've created a new small business, okay, in the last 18 or so months, and you've also got two small children.
Yes.
Two little girls, I think.
Yeah, Zoe and Lou, they are 3 and 5 year old.
And you've been, you say, in lockdown for about 145 days. Talk us through how your life is different now compared to pre-COVID.
So I think our life is really different in the way that we explore way more what we have just around us, which is the way I was brought up, right? My grandma, she never left. She was married to my grandpa who lived 2 kilometers away and she stayed in this farm and she's still alive. And, you know, it's just, and I feel I'm living back her life, you know, kind of living in my 5 kilometer radius. So we are exploring different pockets of our 5 kilometers. Mm-hmm. And I find that so beautiful at the same time as frustrating. Of course, I will go into the frustration, but let me start with the positive. It's like we are discovering things that we wouldn't have discovered before. We take way more time to do the things that we were rushing to do before. I realized that eucalyptus were blossoming. I didn't know that. I lived in Australia for 7 years. It's the first year I realized that. And I'm feeling so ashamed of myself for not realizing that. But the other day I was like, wow, eucalyptus actually blossom. So it's taking this slowness and this fact of being in lockdown and restricted in many ways to try to make the most out of our small and, you know, smaller environment and seeing the beauty in the things that probably before we were rushing through. So I really kind of see that as the blessing part of the lockdown. Of course, my life is different in the part of the frustration is the isolation that we have. We can see our friends. Our family is in France. We haven't seen them for 3 years now. Because we were supposed to go in April 2020 and we couldn't go with lockdown and all of that. And so we haven't seen them for 3 years. So it's really like this is a frustrating part. It's not being able to connect physically with our friends who live more than 5 kilometers from us, not being able to connect with our family who lives in France and really kind of being together all the time, the four of us, which is really beautiful, but at the same time, sometimes it's a bit challenging. And the other thing that I find really different in our life is the fact that we spend more time, the four of us. So you see even more than before the impacts that you have on your child's upbringing. Mm. And sometimes I find this kind of scary because I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like today, this morning, you know, I'm not perfect and I want to be, you know, honoring that. This morning I was shouting at my girls and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Like, I shouldn't be shouting. I should be speaking, you know, gently and with compassion and with love and la. And just they were, you know, kind of on my nerve at some point and I was triggered and I just shouted. And then I was like, oh my goodness. Whereas when you have your kids at school, when, you know, you have a network helping you, a community, your family, your friends, where you can organize play dates and so on, you know that your child would be exposed to different environment, different culture, a different approach. Even the food, like my girls are bored. The other day I was cooking them, you know, crepe, which everyone would love. It's a French thing. You know, I'm sure other kids would love to eat my crepe. Like, mom, you're always cooking crepe and waffle. And what? This is so good, right? But just they want to go and have a play date at another friend's house and eat another type of food, you know. All of that kind of creates this boredom in them.
And the diversity of experience is what helps little minds yes. grow, right? So,
exactly.
Yeah, I hear you. It's so funny you mentioning the snapping. I lost my shit last night as well. And I was just like,
yeah.
You know, it's almost like you stand outside of yourself and you can yes. watch yourself and it's like, oh my gosh, who have I become? But that's exactly. the other thing. I think that we're these conditions because we're, you know, at home with the same people over and over again, we just get triggered so much easier.
So much, yeah.
So much yeah. easier. So how are you managing the juggle of work and children at home? And, you know, you're trying to run a business, you've got a new business and your children, how old are your girls? Are they like 3 and 5?
3 and 5, yeah, very
yeah.
good.
So they're little, like they're not kids you can, like my son's 11 and I always say I feel very privileged in lockdown. Like, yes, it's challenging and it's relative to my life, but at the same time, you know, I have a beautiful roof over my head. I have an 11-year-old son who is very disciplined and gets his work done. I have a supportive ex-husband. I have a partner who's supportive, you know. So I'm not kind of, even as a single parent, it's challenging for me being, the biggest challenge for me is more, as you said, the disconnection socially. And really missing being with large groups of people, which was what I used to get my energy from in my work. But you're in a, you know, I really take my hat off to people with small children. It's a very different ballgame because they require so much more of your attention. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about how you manage that juggle.
The other day I was looking at Jimmy Rees' video. Do you know him?
No.
Jimmy Rees is a very funny Australian man. Like, he's doing video on Instagram and YouTube, and he was showing like his kids being locked outside at 7 a.m. and being like, go and play outside. And you're having your coffee. And I guess this is what I tend to do sometimes when I need some space. I'm just yep. kind of, hey, girls, it's time to play outside. And I'm so grateful because we moved at the beginning of this lockdown to a house before we were in an apartment, which was like, oh my gosh, the previous lockdown was horrific for us because we decided to keep them at home in an apartment. You know, remember last year, we're all kind of seeing yeah. what was happening in France at the time and in Italy and so on. And we're like, oh my goodness, we need to be locked down in our apartment. We want to make sure that we're not spreading COVID and so on. So at that time in the apartment in Bondi Beach, it was horrific. This time we have the house and the garden. So grateful for that because I can open the door and have them play outside and, you know, just enjoying the cubby house that we built during the lockdown and things like that. So this is one thing that I do. I just invite them to go outside and have a play, but I have to lock the door for them to stay out and play rather than asking for me to be always with them. My daughter are really demanding. One of them is, you know, same as me, having ADHD and really anxious and really needs, you know, always one adult and a presence to be with her to play. So it's like, it's exhausting to be always there for them. But at the same time, I'm trying to surrender to some of the things that I wouldn't have done before lockdown. So for instance, like, hey, you're going to look cosmic yoga online and you're just going to do yoga watching TV. And this is it. It's not kind of mommy teaching you yoga or mommy taking you to a yoga class or whatever. You're just going to watch it on TV. Or, you know, just being like, oh, you're going to watch Still Water, which is a beautiful, if anyone listening has young children, Still Water on Apple Plus is beautiful to watch on TV because it's all about mindfulness for kids and so on. So it's a beautiful cartoon. So I will allow them to watch TV more than before, then reading eggs, you know, doing it on the app and learning how to read on the app. Like, of course, they have more screen time than what I would like them to have. Before, I was like, no screen time before three, and it's just an hour on the weekend. We're very mindful with my husband about the screen time. But at the moment, we're both working and we're trying to deliver what we committed to deliver before being in lockdown. So I'm not taking on more than what I committed before. And I am being present for them as much as I can. But of course, the screen time is helping. And also, I take them to the beach or to the park, which is really kind of helping them get the energy out. And while they are there, I may be on my phone, on, you know, Instagram or on a call. And I outsourced more than what I was outsourcing before in my business to weigh in. Would I like to be more present for my kids? Or can I outsource this to someone else who will take less time and do it better than me and doesn't cost me a fortune? So I'm like weighing way more than what I would before around outsourcing. So I have outsourced more thing. And for the first time, some of part of my business that I was doing myself, I decided to outsource them.
So one thing that you are very good at, from what I've seen, is helping people process feelings. And I think it's so important in the context of where we are at now, because one of the things I used to see in my work pre-COVID was how disconnected people are, one, from their bodies, and therefore two, from how they actually feel. People have become very good at suppressing feelings. And personally, I feel that that is like the foundations for burnout. It's foundations for anxiety and so many other challenges, right? Mental health challenges. So how do you process these feelings of, you know, you spoke about not being able to see your family and not being as connected as you would like, and obviously, you know, being triggered and snapping at your kids. When these feelings, these roller coaster feelings present that we are all riding through at the moment, what's your way of processing them in a way that's constructive rather than destructive?
So I really do it in the way I was taught when I was a little girl, holding space for them to flow through and really seeing them as the image of the wave and really kind of, ooh, this is a wave. So it's coming, it's peaking, it's going. And really kind of making space for that and trying to teach my girls to do the same, because I think it's really powerful to own and hold space for our own feelings. So really kind of visualizing this wave, and, you know, it may be anger. And of course, this morning I shouted, so the peak was external, whereas if it's kind of this anger is still honored, but not through a shouting, but more through a physical expression or, you know, a movement. You know, sometimes I, you know, my girls will know that I'm angry because I may be moving like this, you know, kind of, ooh, let it shake it out. You know, just it's really about allowing those emotions to flow, because so much research has been done on the impact of anger. We started to see that anger can create a multiple sclerosis and all of that. So we know that some disease are created by our emotions now. We found some correlation in the research. And without being too spiritual, even though, of course, I honor spirituality, we need to let everything flow. And in Ayurveda, I would say that if you want to burp, if you want to shout, if you want to dance, scream, you need to honor that. Because if you retain it within you, then at some point you're going to have a disease, or you're going to explode, or you're going to reach a stage of burnout or anxiety that is way more than just this moment, where a bigger wave than usual needs to flow through. And let it flow.
I love that. And I think I love that you can use that with kids in terms of, you know, visualize a wave. Look at it like a wave. It's going to come in and it's going to peak and then it's going to go out. This is not forever. Yeah. This is like a moment in time. Allow it to move.
Exactly. And when you allow it to move, it's going so quickly, right? Whereas if you retain it, it's just staying with you for so long. Whereas if you really let it peak and let it go, then it may come back, but as another wave, which is a bit smaller. And then a bit smaller, and then poof, you can move.
Because
to the
then
next
retention
notch.
Is more like a tsunami, right? Over time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm sure we've all noticed that. I'm sure this morning when I snapped, it's because I retained all the moment which made me angry. And then it was like poof. And kids look at you and, what's happening? I just did this little thing and you're just exploding. And yes, because I didn't let the waves move through.
And they can, like, it's so funny how I mean, gosh, kids are so intuitive. You know, my son will say to me, "Mum, are you pissed? Are you pissed at me?" Mm. He's 11. And it's funny, and it's often, it's nothing to do with him. I'm either in a zone or something's happened and I am pissed, but I'm not pissed at him. But he can immediately notice the shift in me. And it's so brilliant because now he's at the age where he says that, you know, and we can have a conversation about it. It keeps me in check and it makes me accountable. Yeah. And it also allows me to have conversations with him to process why I'm pissed, even if it's not to do with him. And that in and of itself is quite helpful. But equally, it's building a really different dynamic in our relationship. That's probably been the biggest gift of lockdown, like having him at home so much. Whether it's right or wrong, I've never called myself a conventional parent. There's many things that I do that people would probably look at and think I'm absolutely crazy. But we have this agreement between the two of us where I will always tell him the truth. So no matter what he asks me, I will always answer his questions, even if they make me feel uncomfortable. And having that basis and how we've used that to develop our relationship in lockdown, it's been magical. And like, you know, they say you shouldn't be friends with your kids, but I got to say, like, I feel like I've got this amazing little mate, you know, and I'm so grateful for it. Yeah, you know, like I'm perhaps a little bit soft at times and all the rest of it, but his dad's really strict. He gets that from him, you know. We just have this magical kind of mutual respect. It's quite nice. And that's probably one of the gifts that I've gotten out of COVID, you know.
The fact that he's, you know, asking you, "Ma'am, are you pissed at me?" means that you've built this trust. So by sharing with him how you really feel and your truth, you know, when I am crying and my girls are like, "Ma'am, you're sad," I'm not telling them, "No, I'm not sad. It's just kind of tears." I'm like, "Yes, I am sad because one of my friends moved back to France, or because, you know, I just had this frustration with someone." Like, I am sharing it with them at the true feeling and honoring it. And, you know, it's really funny. The other day we were at the playground and one of the girls said that her mom never cries. And Zoe straight away said, "Oh, my mom cries a lot. She cried out of happiness. She cried out of sadness. She cried out of anger." And I was like, "Wow, this is so beautiful," because now she knows that it is okay to cry. I never refrain my tears. And I think this is what you just shared is so beautiful, because then as your kids grow up, you can have adult conversation with them.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what we want. We want to create this safety so that when something wrong happens, when they are bullied or when they may be abused in a way, they can share it with us and they feel safe to share it with us. It's not a place where we're going to judge them. We're just going to share the truth together. So I love that you created that with your son. I honor you for that.
Thank you. It's interesting what you say about tears, though, because I'm very conscious having a boy, a young man, and, you know, I think still to this day, that in terms of gender stereotypes and the way we raise men or boys, you know, it's still not okay for them to cry. And we have a lot of conversations about, you know, it's okay to cry. Get it out. Get the tears out. It's totally fine. We all cry. You know, the same thing, like telling him that it's fine to cry. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Processing feelings is really important. We have that conversation. So it's interesting what you say about tears. I love a ritual. I think rituals after, I think we're up to like 245 days of lockdown, who's counting? Probably by the time this goes live, it'll be about 265. So loving a ritual, and I think the reason I love a ritual is because I say it is what has kept me sane throughout this. And I've got to say, it's the first time in my life that I have experienced such a roller coaster of emotions, thanks to lockdowns and restrictions, feelings that I've never felt before. And it's the rituals that have enabled me to move through that. And I have, you know, a very solid morning ritual. I'm a big lover of exercise. I'm a big lover of mindfulness. I love my yoga. I love my journaling. And I do these things every day because, like I say, they make me a better human. So what I'm fascinated in is, what are the rituals that have helped you navigate this time?
Well, thank you for asking. I'm a huge rituals advocate as well, and it's proven how it is helping us moving through emotions and even the strongest emotions such as grief. We can show that by a ritual, you know, going and honoring the person that passed away and so on is really kind of helping us recover and move through the emotions. So definitely rituals are really, really powerful. So for me, I love to have three rituals a day. Again, it's Ayurveda at the different junctions. So when the sun is rising, For me, I start my day with breath work. So I love to use Nadi Shadana, so yeah, alternate natural breathing, to bring the balance between the sun and the moon, between the divine masculine and the divine feminine, so that I can start my day with a balanced energy. Because when the sun is rising, you're, you know, coming out of bed, so you're a bit sluggish, or maybe you're just jumping out of bed. It depends on your personality. But starting your day in balance is really important. So for me, it's really like quick Nadi Shadana, and I may do it with my girls, like running around or jumping on my lap, but this is okay. I'm just doing it. I'm committed to it. And my second ritual is really kind of tongue scraping, brushing my teeth, and then having, so tongue scraping is another Ayurvedic ritual, and then jumping on the cold shower, which makes me breathe very deeply. The Wim Hof breath, it is real. It is a way to jump into a cold water shower. So I'll jump into a cold shower and I breathe, 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 breathe. And then I put the shower a bit warmer and then I will chant. So these are my morning ritual, which means that even with two kids, I can do it. The bathroom is sacred. No one enter in the bathroom when I am in. I'm locking the door. And this is where I do my ritual as part of my morning routine. I'm bringing intentionality and something nourishing into it. So this is my morning. Then when I start working, I will grab my journal and write down my intention for the day and write down whatever is coming up into my mind. And then I will start my day of work. At midday, it will probably be a walk after lunch. Or if I don't have a time for a walk, it may be a few movements of yoga, maybe putting some music and moving my body, but really kind of bringing movement after lunch, really important for the digestion, for the agni, like the digestive fire that you have within you, to activate and bring this balance again with the sun being at its peak of energy within your body. And then at night, I love to go and journal, pull some cards. I am a fan of tarot and oracle cards, so I journal.
I love an oracle card. Love an oracle card.
That's so good, right? And I just kind of pull a card, journal, then I read, and then I will do a yoga nidra before going to sleep. And I included a new ritual with my husband. So what we do now, it's like I do those things, and before the yoga nidra, after reading, he will stay on his phone. I wanted him to put his phone out of the bedroom, but this is where, you know, as a couple, you need to find, a common ground. So now, he may be on his phone reading an article or doing things while I am reading my book and after my different ritual. And then we will I found this deck. I think it's called 5 Movement Happiness. So I took one card of this deck and we share about the questions that is in this deck. So it may be around what is the most beautiful smells that you experienced today, or what is the strongest memories that come back to you right now, or something like that. And then we can have a little conversation before yoga nidra and snuggling in bed together. So I really kind of love doing that, because I was doing all my ritual by myself, but I wanted also to have a moment of sharing together. Of course, we have other moments of share, but as we are very busy with 2 young kids, you know how it is. You're just going with your day and you're like, hey, mate, how are you? No, let's have a very good moment together. So those are my rituals.
Oh, I like that. And I love the way you do it at bedtime. I think that's really nice to do with a partner, bedtime. Yes. So what role has uncertainty played for you in the pandemic, and how have you navigated it?
Wow. Love your question. For me, it has really been a lesson of trust, really trusting that everything will unfold as it should be. And so much happened in 18 months, 2 years. It's just kind of, I was reflecting the other day, and you know I love reflection, reflecting on the last new moon is the same sign, the last full moon is the same sign. I love reflecting back and looking at what happened and what is unfolding and so on. And it helps me build this trust, you know, kind of everything will be as it is the best for me. So it has been a lesson of trust, navigating through lockdown, through the uncertainty of when I can see my family, through losing, you know, grieving family members and very close friends from abroad, you know, not being able to go in France, missing weddings. We missed my sister-in-law wedding. We were supposed to go in September again, you know, we planned it when COVID was not happening again in Australia. We planned to go in September for my sister-in-law wedding. So we missed a lot of moments, like key moments of our relatives and family and close friends and so on, and trusting that it is going to be okay. So I think this trust factor really helped me navigating through uncertainty and always knowing that everything will unfold for the greatest good.
It's so interesting what you say about reflection, because when we had the circle last night and I shared it, you encouraged us to go back to a year ago and look at what was happening on two dates. And I've been journaling for years, but I rarely go back into my journals. And last night you sparked or encouraged me, inspired me to do that. And I now will do it quite often. Because what blew me away was, as I said to you, you asked me at the start of the session what my spirit animal was, and I had no idea, right? So I quickly got on Google and I was like, oh, the butterfly, that's it. I'm in transformation. This animal resonates with me, and so does the concept of evolving into something more beautiful. And so I threw that out into the universe, and then lo and behold, an hour later you said, go back and look at what happened this time last year in your journal. And the first thing that popped up was, I am a butterfly. I am free and I am evolving. Those were the words. And I was like, what are the chances? What are the chances of that? I haven't even thought about a butterfly probably since that time. Yes. And then the other thing that I looked at, two things I looked at, I was journaling a year ago about how I had this long passion to become a yoga teacher, and that, you know, hoping that that might be something I could fulfill and weave into my work. And lo and behold, I've done it. I'm like 5 months past that step and I'm now teaching yoga. And the other thing was wanting to write for the Harvard Business Review off the back of publishing my book and talking about how I wanted that article to be something I was proud of and something that, you know, obviously resonated with people around the world. And again, that happened in January this year. And, you know, it's kind of like these are two major life boxes that I wanted to tick. And I hadn't taken a moment to actually reflect and celebrate that. And you provided me with that opportunity. And I think the greatest insight that came out of all of that for me is that, especially at the moment, what I see in women, we're just trying to get through the day. Yeah, we're trying to get all the things we need to get done in the day. And there is this huge opportunity, one, to create a little bit of space to be kinder to ourselves, because I know a lot of the conversation inside is, I should be doing this, I haven't done this, I need to do this, right? Rather than creating the space and going, what if I just took a moment and a breath to look at all the things that I've achieved in the last year? You know what? I've kept this family together. That's a tick. Yeah. You know, my kids are still healthy and sane. Tick. These are such small things, but I just don't think we create the space. And if nothing else, if you are feeling burnout and exhausted and overwhelmed, sit down and create 10 minutes to reflect on the magic that you've created in the last year, because I'll guarantee you it's there. You're just not honoring by giving it the space and the energy that that then provides you to move into whatever's coming up next.
Yes.
So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And it was so powerful when you opened up with that. And sometimes we are rushing through, as you said, and we don't look at the journeys that we've walked through for the past year. It may be, you know, amazing things that you've manifested, or it may be huge struggles that you had. And at the times that you were journaling, you may have been facing a very difficult situation. But actually, looking back from where you are now, you can be like, wow, I have grown so much. So it's just making that space to just look back and reflect. And for me, the power of reflection is coming every 2 weeks. So when it's a new moon, I set intention. When it's a full moon, and you will see that, I guide the members around, what do you need to let go from what you wanted to achieve at the new moon, but it's not going to happen in this moon cycle. So just release it, let it go. And then on the dark moon, just before the new moon, really kind of creating stillness to just look at what happened. And then on the new moon, setting new intention from that place. So really honoring the different cycle of the moon. We were doing that before. Our great-grandmother were together under the red tent when they were bleeding on the new moon and just sharing that wisdom. We just lost that. We need to reconnect with our ancestral lineage and how it was done.
So last question for you. Any little tips or tricks that you've employed with your girls that have helped you support them during this time? Because I know there's so many people out there that listen with children that are kind of open to anything that's going to help their kids mentally and physically navigate this space. I know here in Melbourne, I can't even count how many conversations I have with parents where their children who previously didn't have any mental health issues now do because of the amount of time where they've been disconnected from, as we said, that diversity of experiences and people. So any hacks around little things you've done with your girls?
Yes. So the first one, barefoot on the earth.
Oh, no grounding. Shoes
on. Yeah. When they're in the garden, they play barefoot. Winter, raining. It was raining last night. This morning, they went barefoot in the garden. I don't care. Then it's messy. I just clean their feet and they come back in the house. But just barefoot. Earth connection. Earthing. Being outside as much as they can, connected with nature and Mother Earth. Really one thing. Very basic. Proven. If you haven't watched the documentary Earthing, just watch it and just don't trust my own word. Just watch this. If you are like scientific based and don't want to trust just me and my spiritual self. But yeah, grounding, first tips. Second tips, 3 deep breaths. So the way I taught my girls, the way I've been taught when I was 5, you put one hand on your chest, one hand on your belly, and you inhale from your belly up to your chest and you exhale from your chest down your belly. And we sit when we do that. So when we are angry, when we are frustrated, when it's like, I haven't celebrated my birthday with my friend, which happened for Zoe because it was the beginning of the lockdown. She couldn't celebrate her birthday with her friend, even though we're preparing it before the lockdown. We're having the party bag and everything ready. And she couldn't celebrate it. So lots of anger and frustration, this breath. And the beautiful thing is when Zoe or Lou feels me starting to get angry, they're like, Mommy, you need to do your breath. So I'm sitting and doing my breath and just, this is so powerful. So breathing, connecting back to their breath. And the third thing that I did is getting a puppy. Oh. So I know not everyone can do that, but for me, it was a way for them to have a friend. And they are playing way more in the backyard. We only had the puppy for about a week and a half now. And they're just in the backyard playing so much with him and just having fun with a new friend. So I know not everyone can have a puppy. Not everyone is pro pet and so on. And we were so against it with my husband for quite some time, but we're like, you know what, we're going to do it. And it's my third tip now. They just, this morning was so cute. They were cuddling him and playing with him and just, it keeps them connected to the animal kingdom and nature. So yeah.
Don't get me started on dogs. We call her, she's a Labrador, a big black Labrador. You can't see her because she's under a blanket. But she is, we call her the second child. And seriously, yes. I'm sure she thinks she's human. But my son always says it's the closest thing I have to a sibling. Yeah. And they just, the joy that an animal can bring is insane. In lockdown, what that dog has given me again is sanity because I have to take her for a walk, which means I have to get outside, which means I have to be in nature because we walk in the park across the road. She forces me to be a better person. And the other thing is I'm on my own half the week because I share my son with my ex half the time. And when I'm on my own, the dog keeps me company. And like, I talk to her. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I do. I talk to her.
No, not to me.
A conversation all the time. And that companionship, they say people with pets live longer, especially elderly people. They're less lonely and they live longer. It completely makes sense to me because without the dog in lockdown, you know, it would have been a very lonely life. So I hear you.
Yes. And don't worry, I'm the same. I speak to the dog and the girls call him because it's a boy, their little brother. And it's not me telling that it's, you know, I've never said that it's a human, but they're like calling him their little brother. And they're like Lulu, who wanted to be a big sister. She's like, I'm a big sister now because she's my youngest. And so it's really cute. And I speak to plants as well, you know, so my girls will see me speaking to plants. And sometimes they're speaking to my, you know, Monstera and be like, oh, look, you have a new baby growing. So I am so connected to the plant and the animal kingdom. I'm not going to judge you for speaking to a dog. I think it's a beautiful thing to just connect with whatever animal, whatever plant, whatever thing that you want to connect with. I'm never here to judge.
Oh, I love that. And you know what? You've inspired me because you can probably see from the background, I love a plant, love a plant. Like I just believe that having living things inside makes the home feel alive.
Yes. So I have the same. I have like the biggest monster, and people are like, how do you do that? I'm watering him and talking to him.
I need to talk to mine. I don't talk to them. So you've inspired me. I'm going to start doing that because I do love my plants. Absolutely love them. It brings me so much joy. Thank you so much for your time today, Leticia. It's been absolutely, every time I speak to you, I feel like we are, you know, sisters from another time. You lift my spirits. So thank you. And thank you for sharing your wisdom. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much goodness in this for anyone listening who's trying to do things differently to feel better in each day.
Thank you so much for having me. Such an honor. And know that I share the deep love for you that you feel.
So tell us before we go, I will pop it in the show notes, where can people find out more about this amazing soulful business doula that you are? And these beautiful women's circles, man, I'm a huge advocate of what I shared with you last night. I think anyone that's finding it hard at the moment would just get so much benefit out of that connection, even though it's online. It's probably the deepest thing I've been in for a while.
Oh, thank you so much. It means a lot. I try to bring, you know, your senses and your whole self, even though it's online, I try to bring really the physical experience into the online space. So I'm grateful that you enjoyed it. So yeah, people can find me on Instagram. This is where I love hanging out. I am at essential.shift. Otherwise, you can just go on my website, www.essentialshift.co. And in regards to the circles, they can join. My membership is open anytime it's an annual membership to create this safe space where women really get to know each other. And it's an annual membership called Essential Alchemy, and where we have new moon circles and different workshops and moments to connect with the ancient wisdom and strategy together to bring a business that is fully aligned.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute gift.
Thank you for having me.
Have a beautiful rest of the day.
Yeah, you too.
Until next time, listeners, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now. Thanks for joining me for today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. If there was something that ignited a flame or sparked a thought within you from this conversation, please take a screenshot and share it on your preferred social media platform. Feel free to tag me in Hacking Happy Co. or Penny Lacalso. Reviews are so important to reaching my goal of making 10 million beautiful humans just like yourself happier. So if you enjoyed your listen, please take a moment, leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. Until the next episode, remember, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now.